1, 2, 3.
You're listening to Sports Talk Chicago with your host, John Zagluhl.
John, I am fantastic. Thank you for having me. You got an awesome voice, man, and that was a terrific intro. You're like a pro's pro.
You know, that was the first time somebody ever said that, John. No, you're the first person to ever say anything like that. That's very interesting.
You got it, John. Anything for a fellow Chicago guy.
Well, what a great question.
That's a great question. Nobody's actually asked me that.
I like it. What a great question. I never heard that before.
Chase Utley is what? You're saying he's not a Hall of Fame candidate?
You know, it's funny. You may be the only person that I've heard make that connection.
Thank you, John, for having me. I'm doing great. By the way, you have an outstanding voice. Not sure about your face because I haven't met you, but your voice is great.
You're doing a much better job than I ever did. You've had some heavy hitters guests on too, man, so keep up the good work. But it's good to be with you, and I'm ready to talk sports.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into Sports Talk Chicago. My name's John Zagluhl. Great to have you here. On today's edition of the program, the Bears had a tough loss on Sunday. We'll break it down in just a moment. Plus, a brand new interview today with Bob Nightingale, the baseball columnist at USA Today. We talk with him about the White Sox World Series chances, their chances against the Astros and the ALDS, and so much more. It's a great interview, and it comes your way near the midway point of this show. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at John Z Sports and on Facebook at John Zagluhl. And if you want to listen to this show at any time in podcast form, search up Sports Talk Chicago on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and sportstalkchicago.com. Before we start today, I have to tell you about State Farm agent Ryan McDevitt. A lot of our listeners have gone to him for all their insurance needs, and he's been very helpful in getting them the coverage they deserve. There's no games with Brian. He's just here to help and make sure you feel safe. So if you have insurance needs and you haven't called him yet, what are you waiting for? Dial up the number, 630-796-2662. That's 630-796-2662. Or find him online at ryanismyagent.com. That's ryanismyagent.com. And make sure to mention Sports Talk Chicago. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. I want to start today with this. How do you know if you're an expert? How do you determine if you're a guru? Adam Gase was a quarterback guru, right? A quarterback whisperer. You know, a lot of times, if you have a big ego, you say you're an expert. People who say they're experts, it's always self-proclaimed. And it catches on, and everybody believes it. I could come out and tell you I'm a football expert, never put on pads in my life, and you'd believe it because I'm on TV. I play the role, right? I have a massive ego, but I never do that. I give you observations, I give you my thoughts, but I've never told you, hey, I'm a quarterback expert, hey, I'm a football expert. No, I'm opinionated, that's all. My question is this. Why do we believe people without results? Would you believe me if I said I'm a quarterback expert and never coached? No. You wouldn't. You'd say, John, you're ridiculous. What the hell's wrong with you? Why'd the Bears believe Matt Nagy when he told them, I'm a quarterback expert. I'm an offensive expert. Why? What, because they saw Kansas City? They saw Alex Smith blossom? And they thought, oh, that was Matt Nagy, not Andy Reid. I'm serious. What made Bears management think this guy's an expert? I have never been more appalled and more sickened to be a Bears fan, to watch Bears football. And yes, I get it, I'm only 20. Maybe I've missed some bad eras, right? Maybe I've missed some horrible games in Bears history, but you know what? Yesterday was probably the most frustrating game I've ever seen in my entire life. I've never seen a worse offensive scheme. And you know, it's so funny too, all year last year, everybody said Mitch Trubisky, Nick Foles, something. Nobody wanted to blame Nagy. For whatever reason, I don't know. Game after game, they defended him. He needs a real quarterback. If he had a real quarterback, he'd be great. You gave him a real quarterback now. You might forget this. The Bears traded up to get Justin Fields. Second time in 5 years. And that's the thanks you get. That's the performance you get from the guy who says, I'm a quarterback guru. Self-proclaimed. Egotistical. Anybody who tells you they're an expert or a guru, ego problem. Right away. You can spot it. Why do people believe Matt Nagy when he said, I know how to work with quarterbacks, when he's done nothing? There's no track record. There was never a track record. And we all just bought in. We were so gullible. And up until yesterday, people still defended him. And I don't get it. It was so apparent last year. It was a Nagy problem, not a Mitch problem. Now this year, it's a Nagy problem, not a Fields problem. You could look at the numbers and scoff. Believe me, I did. 6 of 20, 68 yards. But you know what? Sacked so many times, and more importantly, was not even used. Not even used. Not even used correctly. Justin Fields said he'd have nightmares after the game. I called this. I said this from the beginning. If you rush out Fields, psychologically, it's going to take a toll on him. Now look. No, though. Got to put him in, right? Who am I anyway? I'm some bozo, right? I don't know what I'm talking about. From the very beginning, I said, do not rush him. Not put him in right away. There are very serious issues with this team. It's not worth putting him in and rushing him. Nope. Everybody clamored. Everybody begged. Everybody whined and cried and came after any detractors like me. So you got your wish. Be careful what you wish for. Happy now? You want to see that again? Right? You want to watch Justin Fields get sacked 9 times? And throw for 68 yards. Everybody said week one, oh, there's the O-line. They're there to protect. No, they're not. It's a horrible offensive line. Said that from the beginning. But nobody wants to admit it. Nobody wants to see it. They just want Fields. When are people going to realize it's not all about the quarterback? It's not. That was not Justin Fields' fault. That was mismanagement. Mismanagement. Yes, he's better than Mitch Trubisky, but the point is, last year, it happened too. There was mismanagement last year too. When are we going to admit it? When are we going to say it's Matt Nagy's fault? The people who defend Matt Nagy, I'd love to meet you and have a conversation. I'm serious. Find me on social media. DM me. I'm going to get you on this show immediately. I want to find out why Matt Nagy is such a good coach. I'd love to talk to Ryan Pace, too, and find out why he was hired. What made you think, oh, he's a cinch for this job. He'd be great. Oh, my goodness. My blood is boiling. I watched that game yesterday. Sack after sack after sack. You know, it's so funny. If Justin Fields is such an explosive quarterback, Matt Nagy, why don't you use him correctly? How do you put up 6 points with Justin Fields? Shouldn't that tell you at home there's a problem? Huh? 6 points with your rookie stud QB? When are we going to learn? Why are we so gullible? And that's the big thing. Everybody says, oh, well, Nagy won with Mitch Trubisky in 2018. He's never had a good quarterback. You know what? That is the stupidest argument I've ever heard. The defense made up for it. And we saw what Mitch Trubisky did in the preseason. Not a bad quarterback. Now we saw what Fields did. All of you, everybody agrees Fields is better than Mitch. And why'd he put up crappy numbers? Because it's not the quarterback. Saw someone yesterday say, well, the Bears are 1-2. one game out of the division. Are you kidding me? Really, that's the take you're going to have? Oh, yeah, they're 1-2. They're almost there. No! Have you seen the schedule? You are not going to win anything putting up 6 points a game. My goodness. To the Bears' credit, the defense did good. Did a good job. Did what they could to contain Baker Mayfield and the Browns' offensive attack. Run defense wasn't there, but that's because they were tired. They were on the field the whole game. Time of possession was so different. 39-34 for the Browns to 20-26 for the Bears. I don't blame the defense. The Browns had the ball nearly twice as long. Not the Bears' fault, not their defense fault. The Bears were 1 of 11 on third down. You got to be kidding me. I can't believe I'm looking at these numbers. David Montgomery, 10 carries. We just talked about why Montgomery needs to be prioritized. My goodness. I don't even know what to say. I do know one thing. Fire Matt Nagy. Look, I'm usually a benevolent guy. I don't wish for anybody to be fired. I don't wish for people to lose their jobs. I really don't. But I also know this. You all know me for this, too. Meritocracy. There should be no loyalty. If you perform, good for you. You get a raise. You stay. Contract extension. If you don't, goodbye. That's how it is in the real world. How do the Bears always settle for the same old crap? Why? Why? I don't get it. I've never been more heated after a Bears game. Thought I could control myself today. I guess I'm going a little bit off the rails, but can you blame me? Can you blame me after that performance? And the fact that it's only game three. And the fact that there were people last year, at the end of the year, who said, it's Mitch's fault, give Nagy a chance. Where are you now? Where are those people now? Remember at the end of the year press conference, January 8th, Matt Nagy said we needed better play out of the quarterback position. I made a video about that. I remember it. I said, better play? You took out Mitch Trubisky, put in Foles, then switched back to Mitch, went to the playoffs. Better play? What do you mean? Made it to the playoffs. What more do you want? What are you expecting? Now we sit here in September. What's Matt Nagy saying now? Better play out of the quarterback position? Oh, no. He knows better. If he trashes Justin Fields, he's going to be killed. Now he's finally saying it's my fault. Where was that last year? Where was that a couple of years ago? You threw a young quarterback under the bus for your benefit. You made the team draft somebody else, and now you're throwing him under the bus. You're making him look bad. This guy's a Heisman Trophy finalist, and you're making him look like crap. When are we going to admit it's not the quarterback? The Bears have to get this right. They have to do something. I can't take it anymore. I don't know if you can. I can't. The endless stream of mediocrity. The endless stream of quarterbacks. They've started more quarterbacks since 2000 than the Browns. The Browns have stability at quarterback. The Bears don't. In what world are we living in? But no, it's okay. Who cares? We'll go through it again next week and see what happens, right? Got to wait and see what happens. We should trust Matt Nagy and trust Ryan Pace, okay? Don't say a word. Remember, it's the quarterback. Right, now it's not the quarterback because it's unpopular to say it. But last year, it was the quarterback, right? My goodness. Hypocrisy, thy name is. Look, I'm happy the Bears have Justin Fields. Really, I am. And the way things played out last year and even the years prior led to Fields coming in. So I'm happy. I have no regrets about that. I have regrets about the way Matt Nagy scapegoated Mitch Trubisky. I'll always have that one in my heart. Honestly, I will. I have no problem saying that, so you all know where I stand. I'll have no problem saying that the way Mitch Trubisky was treated by Matt Nagy was a joke. And now look, Justin Fields is having the same treatment. I never understand why the Bears just don't have an offense. You know, you bring in an quote-unquote offensive guru, why can't they put up more than 6 points? Look, the Browns are good. Don't get me wrong. I said the Browns would win, which they did. Not like that. Really? Giving up 9-plus sacks? You couldn't even put up a freaking touchdown? Are you kidding me? Between the play calling, between the offensive line, it's so apparent that Fields shouldn't be out there. And I don't know when people are going to admit that either, but, I mean, it's been apparent to me from the beginning. This is not going to work. And for Fields to already say, you know, oh, I have nightmares. I can't believe what happened. If I were the Bears, I'd scrap this whole thing. I'd wait till you find a new coach. I wouldn't even put Fields out there. I wouldn't even waste your time. Look what happened to Jared Goff his rookie year with Jeff Fisher. You're going to tell me that didn't scar him? That he had to learn differently with Sean McVay to be better? This is not a good idea to keep trotting him out there and have him get beat up, number one. I mean, an injury is coming. Everybody said 2 weeks ago, injuries come and go. Yeah, you want to keep him out there, huh, with 9.5 sacks? My gosh. Everything I said from 3 weeks ago from the preseason came true. You all laughed at me. You all made fun of me. You all said I didn't know what I was talking about. And now it's all here. Now it's right all out in the open for everybody. And now there's this delayed reaction. Like, what the hell happened? How'd this happen? The writing was on the wall. That was the most pathetic Bears game I've ever seen. No other way to put it. I don't know what the future holds for this team. I mean, they're facing Detroit next week. I don't know if they're going to win that game. I'm just being honest here. I don't know. Detroit nearly beat Baltimore. Baltimore. And if it wasn't for a miracle record-breaking kick, Detroit would actually beat Baltimore. Detroit's not a pushover. So they got to face Detroit. They lose to the Browns like this. They barely beat the Bengals. They lose to Los Angeles. And guess what? The schedule ain't getting any easier. Steelers are coming. Raiders are coming. Buccaneers are coming. Oh, yeah, the Packers are coming twice. Vikings. Said 6-11 at the beginning of the year. I mean, I'll be shocked if they get there. I will be shocked if they get there. Not with this offensive line and certainly not with this coaching. I just love how the narrative continues to shift and nobody cares. Nobody cares. Last year, the narrative was Matt Nagy, great coach. Mitch Trubisky, bad quarterback. This year, it's Matt Nagy sucks. Justin Fields, good quarterback. Wait a minute. Doesn't add up. I can't believe what I'm seeing. The narrative shifting, the blame shifting, the scapegoating, and the hypocrisy. It drives me crazy. I think we can all agree right now. Let's get a checklist going. We can all agree on a couple of things. One, Matt Nagy's not a good coach. Two, it was never a quarterback problem. Three, this offensive line can't protect anything. We can all agree on that. So what's the plan of attack? Gonna have to wait and see what Matt Nagy dials up. Oh boy, am I intrigued. The offensive guru's at it again. All of you who claim you're Bears fans, I'll just say this last parting thought. If you're unhappy with what you've seen, if you're appalled like me with what you've seen, there's something called Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, TV, radio. Make your voices heard. Can't just be a couple of people talking. Make your voices heard and tell everybody what's on your mind. Nothing will happen if the same old continues. And the real problem is Bears fans are so addicted to the franchise, and the franchise is great. Historic, storied, George Halas, Ditka, so many great people. So people are addicted to the franchise, so they're always going to patronize it. You're always going to go to games. You're always going to buy merchandise. I get it. I understand. It's hard. It's hard. But just remember, if we all stand in solidarity here, if we demand change, change will come. Eventually. May not be immediate. The Bears have never fired a head coach midseason ever in franchise history, so it may not be immediate. But at the end of the year, if you actually voice your concerns and you have people in the press who care, you will get answers. I suggest to all of you that you speak up and stand out. This was a joke. This was a joke. Just a disgrace. People have to start saying that. Can't just be me. Can't just be other YouTubers, other people in media. Everybody has to step up. I've never seen a worse performance from the Bears. And Matt Nagy better be out the door soon. More to come here on Sports Talk Chicago. My interview with Bob Nightingale comes up next, so stay tuned. Sports Talk Chicago. Everett Johnson Gluel, and we are back and ready for today's special guest. He's a baseball columnist at USA Today and an insider for MLB Network and Odyssey. Please welcome Bob Nightingale to the program. Bob, it's great to have you on. How are you?
Yeah, doing great. Thanks, John.
So, Bob, what was your reaction to the White Sox division win?
Yeah, it was almost a fait accompli. I mean, it was going to happen by May, right, with the way the division was lined up and nobody was competing against them. So, they've kind of been going through the motions from the, since the All-Star break. So, now they turn it up. I don't take any stock in teams struggling before the playoffs. I mean, we see it time and time again. It's a whole new season come playoff time.
Did Tony La Russa crash and burn this team then?
All they're doing is just, going through the motions. I mean, Houston Astros are doing the same. We used to see the Yankees do the same thing during their dynasty. So, it's tough to get motivated. It's tough to play your best when you have the division won for the last 3 or 4 months. Come playoff time, they should be in great shape.
What concerns you about the White Sox right now? Are the injuries a bit worrisome for you?
The starting rotation, particularly with Rendon struggling like he has, we'll see if he even is healthy enough to be in the rotation. I think Lance Lynn will be fine. Giolito, pitched well in his last start here. So, but the starting rotation has struggled, and of course, Kimbrel hasn't been quite the guy he was with the Cubs either. So those are probably the two biggest concerns.
What's the rotation going to look like in the playoffs? I mean, considering the injuries they have now, what's your prediction for a 1-3 or 1-4?
Well, I got to go. Lynn number one for sure, and then Giolito two, and then we'll see. I'm not even sure if you go 3 and 4. Whether it's Cease or what have you. That's the question. Where they go from here? I mean, you would have penciled Rodon in for sure, but he hasn't been that guy. I don't know what they're going to do here. That's the biggest question they have. I'm not even sure. Dallas Keuchel makes the rotation. If he does, he's probably the number four starter.
Do you think that's good enough to win a 5-game or 7-game series? I mean, based on what you said, I mean, if you don't know. How do you think they could come away and beating the Astros or beating a good team in the ALDS or beyond?
Well, tell you what, the Astros are in the same situation. I mean, they don't know either. I mean, they've kind of hit a wall. I would think they go McCullers number one, Framber Valdez two, maybe Garcia three. I mean, we're seeing a lot of rotations You know, even the Dodgers, as great as the Dodgers rotation is, you know, that kind of, you know, Walker Buehler hasn't been quite the same in September, over a 7 ERA, you know, loss of velocity with, you know, with Urias, you know, Scherzer's fine, of course. But yeah, we're seeing a lot of cases. You never know. I mean, with a short season last year, you know, these guys haven't pitched as long in 2 years.
Bob Nightingale here on Sports Talk Chicago. Bob, what about offensively? Do you buy the White Sox lineup 1-9?
Oh, I do. I think it's a you know, a great lineup. If I take the Astros first, maybe the White Sox right behind it, lineup wise. I mean, they're they should be consistent in the playoffs. I know it's been erratic lately, but it's a powerful lineup. I think they'll be in good shape.
So, do you think the Astros are a bit better than the White Sox talent wise?
Yeah, I've given a slight edge to the White Sox. I mean, the Astros are very good talent-wise, particularly when Michael Brantley is healthy in that lineup. I mean, it's a great, great lineup. They don't strike out. They put the ball in play. This time of year with Correa and Bregman and Altuve, they've been there and done that. So it's going to be a tough, you know, a very tough team to beat. I think it's for that first round should be a fabulous series.
What's the key for the White Sox to win?
I think it's starting rotation. I think it's got to come up, and also think they have to be solid in the back end. I mean, you need Kimbrel to pitch well. Like I said, he has not been the same guy as he was the first half of the season with the Cubs. I think maybe the X factor is Kopech. You know, maybe you start Kopech in a game. Who knows? I think Kopech has a chance to be a huge factor in this as well. Because, you know, you can pitch him 2 or 3 innings. So, you know, he may be the whole key. Nobody ever talks about him, but he may be the guy.
Bob, if they beat Houston, the White Sox, how far do you see them going? I mean, if they get past Houston, are they pretty much World Series bound? What do you think?
No, I mean, on paper, Tampa Bay is the best team in the American League. So, you know, it's going to be tough. I mean, the Rays will be favored. You know, against the Yankees, Red Sox, or Blue Jays, whoever they face in the first round. So they won't, they'll be an underdog. Whoever wins that series will be underdog second round for sure. And we'll see what happens. I mean, the playoffs are fascinating this year just because there's no, you know, clear cut team. I mean, even the Dodgers, you know, they're going to likely finish second in division, but they're probably the whole series difference.
Let me ask you this, though, Bob. Even if the White Sox lose, let's say they don't make it too far, would you consider 2021 to still be a success?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, they won the division for the first time since, 2008 to do this. They're not going away. It's not like a one-and-done team. They're just going to get better and better. So, no, I think it's absolutely a success, you know, no matter what they do from here on out. Just the fact it's been, so long since they won the division.
How likely is a future championship run? If they don't do it this year, do you think in the next couple of years they'll get there?
I do. I think they will win a World Series here in the next few years. Everybody loves this team. Energetic team, a young team. You know, Abreu is starting to get up in years, but he's certainly not showing it. So, no, if they don't win it this year, I think they'll be a World Series favorite, you know, next year, the year after that. So, it's going to stay around. It's not like the window is closing.
Will Tony La Russa still be the manager?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's going to get some Manager of the Year votes this year for sure. Done a fabulous job there. So yeah, I think Tony's in this for a few years for sure. Even if they win the World Series this year, I think Tony will, keep coming back.
Do you think he's going to get blamed if they don't go too far this year, despite the injuries, too?
No, I mean, shouldn't be. I mean, without two big guys, in the outfield all year long, the injuries, like I said, I mean, you can argue that he should be the Manager of the Year. So, I mean, people always blame the manager when you don't win a World Series, in all 30 major league, all major league teams. But no, I mean, they wouldn't be in this position without him, that's for sure.
Bob Nightingale here on Sports Talk Chicago. Bob, let's talk MVP races now. Who's your pick for AL MVP?
Yeah, there's 30 votes. I think Ohtani gets at least 25 of the 30 votes. I don't think he'll be unanimous now. It could be. You know, Vlad Guerrero was good. They hit a little bit of a wall. He's not going to win the Triple Crown. So I think, you know, it's going to be Ohtani in a runaway with Vlad Guerrero for his second.
If Guerrero got the Triple Crown, would he end up winning it? Or would you vote for him if you had a vote? Would the Triple Crown mean as much?
Triple Crown means a ton. But what Ohtani's done is historic. And, you know, we haven't seen this in 100 years. So I think, you know, be honest about it, I think Ohtani won the MVP by the All-Star break. I don't think there's anything Guerrero could have done to change anything. I really don't. You know, maybe if he, you know, broke Barry Bonds' single-season home run record, maybe. But that's about it. I think he had no chance.
What about Royals fans who claim Salvador Perez deserves a shot? What do you say to them?
Hey, he had a great season. I mean, he's not an MVP. you know, I mean, I know you say, you know, the Angels haven't been in the race, but, you know, the Royals weren't in the race either. You know, you like to have them. You know, that's what makes Guerrero's case compelling. If they make the playoffs, that, man, it's not best player, it's most valuable player. It was the best player. Barry Bonds would have won the award, you know, 15 straight years. So, hey, Perez had a great season. He can win the best catcher award, but not the most valuable player. Not close.
How about in the National League? Who do you like winning there?
Tatis, you know, struggled too. So, you know, that drops him out. So it doesn't help when your teammate is airing you out for everybody to see. So, I think it's certainly Harper's a loose. He'd have to have a real bad last week. And, you know, even though, you know, whether they make those or not, they're probably not going to make the playoffs, but at least they're in contention, and they would not be in contention, you know, without him. That's what makes an MVP. I think Brandon Crawford deserves to be in that conversation as well. He's not going to win it. Good look at the numbers. So, but he's had a fabulous year. You know, it's, you know, for Crawford, if people go back to 1988, that's what it reminds you of. I mean, Kurt Gibson's numbers were dwarfed by Daryl Strawberry with the Mets that year. But, you know, Gibson won the MVP just because he meant to that team. And I think you can say the same thing about Brandon Crawford. So you have significance to the Giants.
Yeah, how shocking are the Giants, by the way? I mean, they have put together a great season. You mentioned Crawford. Brandon Belt had a good year. Buster Posey's had a resurgence. How shocking is their performance so far in 2021?
Yeah, just a great team effort. I thought they were going to surprise everybody a year ago, and then that didn't happen. You know, now, you know, a year older. So, yeah, just a it's like a machine there. Whoever they bring in, you know, does well. You know, they go to the right-left platoon. Deep bench. You know, there's a reason we have 17 pinch hit home runs. So, yeah, I mean, they easily the most surprising team in baseball. Then probably the Red Sox would probably be the second biggest surprise.
Would the Padres be the most disappointing team then?
Padres, the National League, and the Twins, the American League. No one saw the Twins being just a collapse. I never favored to win the division. With the Padres, particularly if they finish below 500, maybe the Padres pass the Twins, the most disappointing team. But yeah, those two are easily the two biggest disappointments.
Do you see any changes coming for both of them this offseason?
I think Baldelli is safe with the Twins. I really do. With the Padres, we'll see. I think Jay Stingler stays. Just because he's so close to the GM, A.J. Preller. They've already gone through three managers under the Preller regime, 17 coaches. I think they'll fire some coaches. But somebody told me that he's safe. And if not, you'll see Bruce Bochy managing there next year. Bochy wants back in. It's a natural fit.
Do you think Bochy actually comes back? Is that a real story? Do you buy it?
Oh, no, I've talked to him. He definitely wants to come back. So, yeah, he got offered the Padre job two or three times 2 years ago, but he had wanted to take 1 year off for health reasons and, kind of promised the family is set back a year. But yeah, I mean, he can go there. He could go up, you know, he could end up with the Mets or something else. But no, he wants to manage the game.
And you think he'd be a good fit in San Diego?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they'd go crazy there if he come back. I mean, obviously, he's a Hall of Fame manager. Led the Giants to 3 World Series. They never should have, let him, walk away when they did. I think that would be their biggest, free agent pickup is grabbing Bruce Bochy, and the fans will love it.
More to come with Bob Nightingale. In just a moment, stay tuned. This is Sports Talk Chicago. Bob, a few more questions before we finish up. First off, the most memorable game you've covered in your career is what?
I got to go game 6 of the 86 World Series when the Mets Red Sox, when the Red Sox, had that thing won, that 10th inning collapse. I mean, the Butler, the game was already tied after that point. But just to see that, but maybe the David Freeze game, could be next. The St. Louis, Texas, same thing, game 6 of 2011. But yeah, I got to go to that 86 World Series game.
What was it like in the locker room after Buckner commits the error and you're in there interviewing players and writing up the story? I mean, I can't even imagine what the Red Sox locker room was like.
Yeah, I know the next day, it was a rainout the next day. And the game 6 was a very late game, and I want to say it was rain delayed too. So I don't remember, those guys sitting around. The only time I really remember guys sitting around in the stand was 88 when Dennis Eckersley gave up the home run to Kurt Gibson. I remember Eckersley answering questions for over an hour in his locker, and he could have been nicer, could have been more of a gentleman, saying how we blew that game. And then when they lost the World Series, same thing. He says that home run cost the World Series, and I believe that to be true. So yeah, and the Red Sox thing, I think, was just so late. And I remember even the Mets players, I'm not even sure how many were around. A lot of those guys were dressed and ready to go home and back, and calling the airlines, to get flights home. And nobody saw that one coming. That was stunning.
Who's the most gracious player you've interviewed with their time in the locker room?
No one close to Tony Gwynn. Gwynn was unbelievable. I mean, he was a media darling, and just, you would do a story on whoever, and it would be hard to get quotes in about that player, I mean, from that player, because Gwynn would be better talking about him. Yeah, he was just nobody was like Tony Gwynn. The sports I've covered is not even close. And he would treat a high school reporter with the same respect as, someone from 60 Minutes. Wasn't looking at the press credentials to see where you're from. Yeah, just the nicest guy in the world.
Bob, before we finish up today, last question. Do you believe in the curse of Bob Nightingale?
No. I say that's a twist. Like, well, the sports literature cheats. I don't know why people do that. Maybe they do with others. I don't pay that much attention to it. So it's funny when people react. It's like whatever. You can say the Houston Astros are going to win the division, even though they haven't clinched yet. The Astros are done. So, no, it's funny. It's like it's like the no-hitter stuff. You say no-hitter's coming on, and people go crazy. Like, oh, he just jinxed it. There's no such thing.
Do you know your worst jinx ever that you put out on Twitter and then it hasn't come true?
I don't. I really, I mean, Twitter hasn't been around that long. I don't. I mean, the things have surprised me, but I don't remember saying, this is before Twitter. I do remember this now. Before Twitter was in the paper, USA Today at the time had a couple million subscribers. So I was kind of being a wise guy when the Tigers are so powerful. And they were playing the in the World Series by the Cardinals. I said the Tigers in three instead of four. I just thought the Tigers would sweep. Obviously, the Cardinals won it in 06 there. But it was the Tigers thing. I was convinced, and I was on them the whole time, and they had so many days off. I didn't think anything of it because it was so great. So, yeah, definitely that prediction. Oakland Dodgers, I thought we'll sweep that one too. But I don't remember writing that paper. But the Tigers went for sure. It would have been bad enough if I said Tigers four, but trying to be a wise guy and say Tigers in three.
Well, Bob, thank you so much for joining me. Always a pleasure to have you on. Best wishes moving forward and looking forward to our next visit. Thank you so much.
Sure, my pleasure. Take care, John.
Great talk there with Bob Nightingale. That'll do it for us today here on Sports Talk Chicago. Big thank you to Bob Nightingale himself, Matt Dubiel, WCKG, Jim DeTalbot, to Marlboro Entertainment for making this show a success. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at John Z Sports and on Facebook at John Zaglua. And if you want to listen to this show at any time in podcast form, search up Sports Talk Chicago on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and SportsTalkChicago.com. Another great show comes your way tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening. Till then, stay safe. And so long, everyone.
No! No! Where are the Turtles?